Welcome. Gospel Harvest International is the evangelistic ministry of Itumeleng and Lindy Mokganye. This ministry is devoted to winning souls and igniting the church to do likewise. As you are listening to this message, we pray that God's word would position and empower you to take the harvest in your world.
My friends, I'm continuing with our series, What It Means to Follow Jesus. And in this part three, I want to speak about living a life of worship. You see, today I want to talk about how do you and I live a life of worship? Because worship is more than just singing or coming to church. It's really how we live our life. If you ask a room full of people like this for a definition of worship, you'll get many definitions. So we need to look at what the scripture says. What does the Bible say about worship? Because everybody worships. Everybody claims to worship. Even atheists claim to worship. If you don't believe it, smack one on the toe with a hammer. He'll cry out to God. Everybody worships something. Some people worship idols. Some people worship themselves. Some people worship wealth. Some people worship their jobs and careers. Some people worship their cars. Some kids worship rock stars. The problem is that cars break down and some rock stars don't even matter in light of eternity. We need to talk about what it means to worship God. Why does the Bible say, or what does the Bible say about worship? What does it mean to worship God? What is God looking for when He invites you and I and He asks us to worship Him? To start off, let's look at what it actually is. Since I have this microphone, I get to give the definition today. So we're not going to look at any specific activity. What I want us to look at is the word itself. Where do we get this word worship from? And really, what does it mean? The word worship actually comes from an old English word, worth scrap, which literally means to declare worth. That sounds pretty simple. To declare worth, to declare or attribute worth or value to something or someone. So when we worship God, we're declaring His worth. But that leads to a question. What is God worth? What is He worth to you? What is His value in your life? To the extent that you can discover His worth and His value, you will then become a worshiper and you'll express worship not just through words you say, not just through songs you sing, but you'll express worship by the way that you live. It'll flow out of everything that concerns you. You can tell when a person worships by the way that they live their lives. You can tell what people worship by the decisions they make, by the values they have, by the way that they talk, by the way that they think, how they spend their time, how they spend their money. It is a reflection of what truly is going on the inside and what they truly value. If you want to know what somebody believes, how do they live their life? That's a question you just simply need to ask. If you want to know what someone values, ask yourself, how do they live their life? If you want to know what someone worships, you have to look at how they live their life. Worship is more than just coming to church on a weekend. It's sort of like a marriage. There's a relationship here. If the only time I ever give my wife attention, or if I ever praised her for her abilities or whatever she did, if the only time I ever did that was in a public setting, that wouldn't be much of a relationship or a marriage. You have to have the private life too, the things that happen between the weekends. How you live all of your life pretty much sums up what you value and who you worship or what you worship. I want us to look at what all of this means. How do I live it out? Because worshiping is something that God asks us to do. He invites us to do it. We need to look at why and what that means. In the book of John, in John chapter 4, we're not going to read the whole chapter today, but I can summarize it for us. The fourth chapter of John is about a conversation that Jesus had with a Samaritan woman, a woman who was an outcast. It's the longest conversation that Jesus had with anybody in the Bible. You'd think that the longest conversation that Jesus would have with someone would be a disciple or maybe with some other religious leaders. But His longest conversation was with a Samaritan woman, an unlikely person. The subject of this longest conversation was an unlikely subject. It was about worship. The woman says to Jesus, "My people say you're supposed to worship on this mountain. Your people say you're supposed to worship in this temple. Who's right?" Jesus' answer to her is, in essence, "You don't get it. It's not about the form. It's about the function. It's not about the where. It's about the who." Here's what he says in John chapter 4 verse 23. "Yet a time is coming and has now yet come where true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For these are the kind of worshippers that the Father seeks. The true worshippers will worship in spirit and in truth." What does that mean? Let's unpack it just a little bit. So let's look at what it means to worship in spirit. Here's what it means. It means from the depth of your inner being, from the essence of who we are. God is spirit. Jesus says we must then worship Him in spirit and in truth. Worship is not just an outward performance. It's something that is inward. True worship is not a mere form or ceremony. It's not just going through the motions. It's a spiritual reality. It's a reflection of what's going on the inside. Coming to church doesn't make you a worshiper any more than going to a donut shop makes you a cop. It's just not the same thing. Or going to KFC makes you a South African cop. There has to be an authentic, honest, inward expression of something that's expressed outside in the way that we speak and the way that we live. But worship in spirit is something that is done from the depths of our beings. We can sing all the songs, we can pray all the prayers, we can go through the motions, but be completely checked out on the inside. You can have your hands raised in praise. Glory to God, I've got the victory on the outside. But have your fist clenched in a rage at God on the inside. The question is, are you worshiping the Father in spirit? Then he says, you have to worship in truth. And here's what this means. To worship in truth means that your worship has to be real. It has to be sincere. It has to be biblical. Real, sincere, biblical. It must be transparent. It must be truthful, open, honest, with nothing hidden. There's no pretense here. There's not any pretending. Worshipping openly from the inside, openly before God. That means you can tell God everything that you're feeling or thinking. When you come to Him in worship, He's big enough to handle it. In fact, if you read the Psalms, which are the chapters of worship, so many times you find that David is complaining in worship. He's not happy. He's telling God all about it, but he's worshiping while he's doing it. He's worshiping in spirit and in truth. That's what the Lord says we need to do. True worship is not about activity. It's about authenticity. It's about being real, being in the spirit, being truthful. It's about being honest and open before God. God doesn't just want the motion. What God wants from you and I is true worship. He's looking for relationship. He's not just looking for us to fulfill some duties. He's looking for true relationship. Look at what John chapter 4 verse 23, Jesus says, "The time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers that the Father seeks." He's looking for people who will come openly and honestly and invest themselves in worship before Him. I like to say that if you're looking for God and you just can't seem to find Him in whatever crisis you're facing, then stop what you're doing and worship Him. He will come and find you. Like a good shepherd hearing the voice of a lost sheep, He will come to your rescue. He will invade your circumstances with His presence. What He wants most of all is for us to worship Him. That's why we should worship Him. Worship is not just for God's benefit, it's for our benefit. I used to think, why would God, if He's the creator of the universe, all-powerful, all-knowing, and heaven is filled with worship, why does He tell me to worship Him? I'm like, am I just stroking His ego? Do I have to butter Him up? No, the truth is this. Worship is not for God's benefit, it's for our benefit. I want us to see how that is proven out throughout Scripture. There's an exchange that takes place when you and I come before the Father. come before Almighty God and worship Him. There's a principle here. We see it not just in the New Testament, we see it also in the Old Testament. Let's go to Psalm 22, verse 3. The Bible says, "You are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel." Every kingdom has a king. Every king has a throne. The king sits on the throne. It says, "You're enthroned on the praises of Israel." There's one translation that says, when we praise God, we build a big chair for Him to sit on. There's another passage I want us to read, and we'll unpack all of this. It's in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 6. Isaiah has a vision of God. Wow, he has a vision of God. What's interesting is that this vision comes in a time of national crisis. The king has just died. And here's what Isaiah says. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord and He was seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Let's look at this picture because it's important for us to understand this. He says, I saw God, He's seated on a throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple. The temple is a place of worship. What is the train of a robe? It's a hem, the bottom of the garment. He's seated on the throne, and the bottom, the hem of the garment, filled the place of worship. Isaiah saw what David wrote about. The Lord was enthroned on the praises of His people. This doesn't mean that God is floating around on His throne looking for a place to land. What it means is that when we worship God through our words and through our life, we bring ourselves into alignment with the throne of God. And His throne is a throne of grace. It's a place of authority. It's a place of rulership. If you want God's authority and rulership in your life, if you want His grace in your life, you need to bring yourself underneath the throne of God for His protection. That's what it means to say, Lord, the Lord is enthroned on the praises of His people. His throne is a throne of grace. Everything we need in life, strength, courage, wisdom, health, peace, mercy, forgiveness, love, all that we need in love in life is a gift of God's grace. It's available at the throne of God. And all we have to do is bring ourselves underneath the throne by offering our worship, to submit ourselves to Him. The word submit means to stand under or to hear under. When we stand under the throne of God by offering Him our praise because He's enthroned on our praises, when we do that, we make ourselves available to the grace of God. The grace of God is always available to us. We're just not always available to His grace. Think about it. God's love for us, God's grace towards us, it doesn't change. We are the ones who are sometimes misaligned, not aligned to His grace. So we need to bring ourselves into subjection, bring ourselves into worship, and declare that God, You are Lord and we are not. You've got this figured out. I don't. I don't know what to do, but You do. You're greater than I am, and I want to live my life under Your authority and under Your rulership. I want Your kingdom to come and Your will to be done in life so that all my life can be lived in Your grace. You're much more likely to feast at the king's table if you sit at the king's feet. You're a lot more likely to get wet if you stand in the river than just wade out in the desert. Worship places you in the river of God's grace, God's love. You see, worship is an act of humility. It's impossible to worship and be proud at the same time. A proud man praises nobody except himself. But a humble man, a humble woman, will recognize the value and the worth of other people and express that value, state that value, declare that value. Worship is an act of humility. I want you to look at what James says. In James chapter number 6, the Bible says that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. In other words, pride repels the grace of God. Pride is a grace repellent. Pride is like one of those things you hang out on some form of patio room to keep the mosquitoes away. The Bible says that He opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So humility is what attracts the grace of God. Humility is a grace magnet and not a grace repellent. That's why the Bible says, blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you. You have learned to be worshippers. Worship is a learned behavior. That's what it means. It means to worship God. So when you worship God, you invite God into your circumstance. He's not going to force himself onto us. He's waiting for you and I to issue the invitation. So worship is not for God's benefit. Worship is really for our benefit. So we worship God so that we are aligned with God's authority, his rulership, and we make ourselves available to his grace that is continually heading in our direction. How do I worship? Here's a starting point. Worship begins by saying thank you. Two very simple words that can be so difficult for some to say, so difficult for some to remember. Words such as thank you. I don't know about you, but my confession is that often I'm travailing in prayer, asking God to do something, where sometimes all we need to do is begin by saying thank you, Father. That's what Psalm 100 verse 4 says. It says, we enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. So you enter the gates with thanksgiving, then you cross the courts with praise. It starts by saying thank you. Hebrews 12:28 says, let us be thankful and so worship God with reverence and awe. It's important because when you look at what God has done, you discover who God is. You thank him for the things that he's done. You can't help but worship him. He saved us. He's done all these things. These are all acts of his mercy and his grace. God is worthy to be thanked. You see, we need to realize something. When I thank God for what he does, I worship him for who he is. Because God's activities are demonstration of his character. He saves because he is a savior. He heals because he is a healer. He provides because he is a provider. It's his nature. It's his character. He counsels and he gives us wisdom because he is the counselor. He gives us strength and courage because he is the comforter. The things that God does, he does to help us discover who he is. And so every opportunity to say thank you is an opportunity to strengthen our faith in God and strengthen our faith in prayer. Thanksgiving reminds us of who God really is. And when we remember who he is, then we welcome him once again into our circumstance. There's so many ways that we can express worship to God. We can worship him through songs, just like we've been doing over the years. But there are verses like Psalm 137 in the Bible that tell us to sing to the Lord. So it's important. We need to do it. We need to continue loving him. I hear some people that try to say that we can't worship God by singing to him. That's incorrect. It's certainly not the only form of worship, but it's certainly one of the ways of worship. So we need to call upon the Lord, call forth and remind ourselves of his nature. Remember, his activities remind us of who he truly is. So we need to remember what it means to truly worship God. And I hope this morning this has been a helpful reminder for us to fix our eyes on God and remember how loving God has been towards us. Father, I pray for my precious friends and our partners that, Lord, as they continue to be mindful of all that you've done throughout the years for them, how you've undertaken for them, that you would continue to bless them and be with them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening today. If you were blessed by this message, consider how you can get involved and join hands with us in winning rural Africa for Jesus. We'd love to hear from you. Visit our website at gospelharvest.co.za for more information or sermons like this one.